How often have we heard the passage about the preaching of John the Baptist? In the churches that follow the pattern of the lectionary readings, John pops up for 2 weeks of Advent each and every year. It's so easy to be familiar with a text that its message can just pass us by. Well, at least that was the trap I nearly landed in this past week. But then I read it yet again and suddenly became aware of how Luke introduces the story about John. There are three verses of a list of who's who and who was in charge at the time. And the list begins at the very top with the Roman Emperor Tiberius and ends up with the two high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. The information helps us set the scene of where and when the events took place. But it struck me that this list of the mighty and the powerful men of the time may serve another purpose. Now, I might be reading too much into this, but I want to share the idea with you anyway. It is usual convention, if someone of great importance is going to arrive, that the first people to be given the message of their imminent arrival, and of course, of the need to prepare for this VIP visit, would be the ones in charge, the people at the very top. For example, if the Queen were due to visit Norwich this coming year, I guess that the information of her impending arrival would go first to people like the sheriff and the chief of police and the council leaders and this kind of thing. Important as the Queen is, the task of preparing for the arrival of God's Son is as important as it ever gets. So who gets the message from God? Well, not the emperor, nor the area governor, nor even the local governor, nor even the chief priests get told about Jesus just yet. I mean, can you imagine the most important piece of faith news ever completely bypassing the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople? That's a natty title, isn't it? Basically, he's the head of the Greek Orthodox Church. Can you imagine that? But no, Luke tells us that God's word came to Zechariah's son, a man called John, the wild man of the wilderness, the one dressed in animal skins and who would eat locusts and wild honey. The one right out on the margins in just about every possible sense. I think Luke, in telling the story this way, makes the point that God's priorities are so very, very different from regular human protocols. It's something to think about. That the change of heart needed to welcome and to be receptive to the arrival of God's Son is best done not from the top of society downwards, but in fact, the other way round. The importance of repentance needs to be heard first by the vast majority, and here I'm struggling for the want of a better term, but let's just say ordinary people. Not that there are such things, but ones without titles and power and position. Ordinary people. The task of challenging the leadership and the high priests was for Jesus to do himself in due course. And certainly, if you look at the reaction of those in charge to the presence of Jesus, then he would have been in even greater danger if the news of his imminent arrival had been given to those who had a lot to lose. I mean, just think of the terrible story that comes just after our Christmas celebrations. the massacre of the innocents. Herod did his best to wipe out any opposition to his rule by killing all of the male children under 2 years in that area. And think about what the religious leaders did in Jerusalem round about 30 years or so later, when Jesus was tried on false charges and executed. The message of John to repent, to turn your life around and follow Jesus, for God's coming. God is coming, as Malachi prophesied. It's a tough message for anyone. Maybe it is impossibly difficult for those who think they already have everything under control. And as we arrive once again at the second week of Advent and hear of the preaching of John, how will we react to his message and challenge to repentance, I wonder? Well, our society is incredibly connected these days, especially so if you use a computer of any sort, and even more so with the mind-boggling capabilities of smartphones. For these days, those of us who have such devices get bombarded with messages of all sorts coming through. Now, I'm afraid I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to mobile phones. I use mine as a phone. And sometimes I get to use the camera too. But they're actually designed to be capable of far, far more than that. Actually, a modern mobile phone is far more like a communication hub. And that's how many use them, and that's how many rely on them. For example, on Thursday, one major mobile network packed up due to a technical fault. And there was all sorts of trouble as a result. Not only did people get inconvenienced, but actually some businesses these days actually rely on mobile communications to even function. So, what happens when a message pops up on your phone or your computer screen? Well, most of it's chit-chat. Some of it requires attention, but with what spare time at this time of year? I mean, how do you react? Well, personally, I ignore most of the phone ones because most of them are usually advertising. And I answer emails whenever I get the chance. It's a case of trying to weigh up the multiplicity of demands on my time and attention. And I guess it's probably much the same for you too. Personally, every so often, I don't get the balance right and miss out important messages. Now, amongst the most important messages are the ones we get asking to install an operating system update. There's been one of those sitting on my phone for weeks now. Such messages are important, as every so often, particularly your computer, will require a major overhaul to keep it working properly and safely. But how do you react to such a message suddenly popping up? When the message flashes up on your screen, update available, and then something which follows along the lines of, do you want to install updates now, or postpone to a date and time of your choice, or ignore? How many of us get irritated by that sort of thing? I mean, right in the middle of our busyness and important work, we get a message to say, there you go, here's an update. How many of us ignore them? Or postpone it? Or even shout at the computer screen? But what happens when it comes to our faith? How will we react when we get a message right in the middle of our busyness of preparing for Christmas? An update is required. Will we shout that it's annoying? Will we just ignore it altogether as irrelevant to us? Maybe we'll postpone finding out what it is until we're good and ready, until it's convenient to our busy schedule. Or will we take notice of that message? Will we stop to listen to the challenge in the words of Malachi and John, take it on board, maybe even say to God, okay, I'll do it now. You see, updates need to happen regularly, as the world is under constant change, and so are we. It is true, Jesus came to save us all and died on the cross once and for all, defeated death with resurrection life once and for all. But human life, what we do minute by minute, day by day, is lived within a covenantal relationship which is mediated by Jesus and enabled by the Holy Spirit. For life and faith are an ongoing process. Every so often, it is vitally important to stop. To stop. To take time to reorientate ourselves back into harmony with God. To hear the challenge of John's message, and to turn once more to God and prepare the way for welcoming Jesus. This isn't the kind of message given to someone at the very, very top who then hands down a command to us. No, this is a message given to people like you, even like me. And every so often, we need to be aware of such messages, for they come to us in the midst of our daily lives. And the messengers, well, they're likely to be the ones out there, the ones out on the margins, the ones who bring us God's challenge to make way and prepare for the coming of Jesus into our lives and into the world once more. We haven't got to Christmas yet. This is the time of Advent. It is a time to pause, to take notice of the message that we may need to take. Is it our time for a faith update? Well, it's over to you and over to me as to how we may respond. Amen.